Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And if you have been attending through Lent, these will be familiar words. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find them on page 4 of the New Testament. That's the back part of the Bible. Listen then with fresh ears. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. We celebrate the written word of Scripture. We celebrate the living word, Christ among us. Give us this day our daily bread. What is your favorite kind of bread? Some of us are gluten-free, so we may enjoy bread baked with gluten-free flour. Some of us may prefer corn tortillas or rice paper wraps, acorn bread, Middle Eastern flatbread, or Ethiopian injera. Or perhaps one of the many Bay Area sourdough breads is your favorite. Well, like people of Jesus' time and culture, bread is a large part of my family's diet. I don't think our bread consumption reaches the 50 to 75% of all our nutritional intake, like first century Palestinians, but we do like our bread. We have a favorite rosemary garlic breadstick recipe that we enjoy with pasta or soup. My husband Kurt and I have a favorite recipe from the Republic of Georgia for a cheese-filled yogurt-raised bread. I have a soft spot for Irish soda bread and certainly southern sweet cornbread. In truth, I don't think I have met a bread I don't like. Bread was a big part of my life growing up, too. When I was a teen, my mom baked bread so that it was fresh from the oven when we got home from school. The smell was heavenly, pun intended. It was part of her strategy to feed four hungry teenagers. If we ate a loaf of bread before supper, it was much easier to satisfy our appetites at the dinner table. When I was younger, my dad made bread for the week on Saturday morning, four loaves of honey whole wheat bread. He got up early, mixing endless cups of flour with salt and yeast, oil, milk, and honey. Then he patiently kneaded the dough until it was uniform and smooth. He covered it with a damp cloth and set it aside to rise. Later in the day, he punched it down and carefully formed it into loaves. He let it rise again in the pans, and then baked it for nearly an hour. It seemed like an eternity to my young self. Perhaps bread making helps us understand how God works in us, with patience through time, rising and growing in us, shaping and molding us into our intended shape. I suspect it was a meditative practice for my dad. Give us this day our daily bread. How much attention do you give to what you eat? Scripture records Jesus eating a lot. He paid attention to who ate what, with whom, when, and where, and he ate with lots of different people. On this fourth Sunday in the church's season of Lent, we are focusing on the fourth praise of the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, the portion of the prayer about food. And Joanne's given away my sermon altogether this morning with a sermon on the steps. But let's take a closer look. There are two different versions of the Lord's Prayer, a fuller one in the Gospel of Matthew, which we read today, and a shorter one in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew placed the Lord's Prayer in the center of Jesus' teachings on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching the disciples, the listening crowd, and us about God's way, the way of life, or as he calls it, the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I was in school, and perhaps this is true for you, we were taught to build an argument point by point to a compelling conclusion. But in the time of the gospel writers, you didn't wait for the end to make your most important point. You set it right in the middle of your work. It was central to your writing. Where Luke placed the Lord's Prayer among teachings about the nature of God, Matthew set the Lord's Prayer in the center of Jesus' teachings on prayer, in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. This prayer was central for Matthew and his church of Jewish Christians, just as it remains prominent in Christian worship and prayer today. Now, Jesus' disciples likely had a rich prayer life. They attended worship with Jesus on the Sabbath. They recited daily prayers of the Jewish faith. They blessed their meals. Here, they are given a prayer for their own community. But not just for themselves, for the whole world. The Lord's Prayer is not the prayer of an individual. There is no I, me, or my language. Rather, this is a communal prayer with we, us, and our language. Give us this day our daily bread. You heard that difference on the Sermon on the Steps. And what is that community? Who is it? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are each one in this prayer, along with the whole world community. So what are we really asking when we recite this prayer? We commit our lives to God's provisioning when we pray give. We ask on behalf of our whole world community when we pray us and our. We ask provision for today, not necessarily tomorrow, when we pray this day. We ask for nourishment and sustenance when we pray bread. I'd like to linger a moment on the word daily. The biblical Greek word here, translated into English as daily, only occurs twice in the Bible, in this phrase in Matthew and in the corresponding phrase in Luke, and it occurs nowhere else in written Greek. It is a compound word from the preposition epi and the adjectival form of the word ousios. Now, epi means on, above, or fitting to, or appropriate for, like speaking on or appropriate to a topic. Ousios means substance or matter, essence. Luke adds the phrase each day to this sentence, so we have a little extra clue. we get the sense that the bread we pray for is bread fitting for daily substance, or sufficient bread for the day, that is, daily bread. Now, in Jesus' day and the time of the early church, bread was baked daily only in the cities. In the smaller towns and villages, bakers baked bread maybe 3 times a week. In rural communities, bread was most often baked at home weekly. So perhaps this is a prayer for bread that is simply sufficient for the day. Or perhaps it is a prayer for bread that is abundant enough you can eat it fresh each day. Daily bread. We know bread is not just food. It also stands for money or pay, livelihood. A breadwinner is someone who gets paid. In today's reading from Isaiah, bread also stands in parallel with that which satisfies. In the reading David read for us this morning, we hear Isaiah describe a banquet for everyone who thirsts. It is not exactly clear who that everyone is. Here, in the middle of the book of Isaiah, the invitation could be going out to the remnant community of Israelites that the Babylonian Empire didn't bother to deport when they conquered Israel and destroyed Jerusalem. Could be addressed to the community of Israelites now returning to Jerusalem after the Persian Empire conquered Babylon and sent the deportees home. It could be an invitation to sojourners of many nations who were moving around and settling back home during the reign of Cyrus of Persia. It is clear that this banquet is available to all, regardless of economic status, social standing, ethnicity, or citizenship. Invitees need no money. Witness to all peoples and to all nations is part of the celebration. This feast celebrates God's presence and covenant of care with all God's people, like us or unlike us, as incomprehensible as that may seem. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God's covenant celebration here in Isaiah includes a lavish feast of bread and wine, milk and rich food. Bread is an integral part of this feast of abundance. It is more than flour, water, salt, yeast, and oil. It is sustenance. It is provision. And on the banquet table, it brings delight. Jesus teaches us to pray for the whole world to be fed every day with good, nourishing food abundant enough for our daily needs. But to say the words is not enough. Jesus also calls us to live into this prayer for all the world as we live in God's way, in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus invites us with the disciples to commit the full provisioning of our lives to God's care. Give us this day our daily bread. What does it mean to pray these words in action? What do you think? What does it mean for our world community to receive daily bread? How many in our community struggle for food security? Perhaps most of us here are not in danger of missing a meal. What would it look like for all the world to have sufficient good food for each day? What is the impact of our daily choices and actions? How does our use of food impact migrant and immigrant workers? How does our morning cup of coffee impact the environment? How do our grocery shopping habits impact energy consumption? How does the way we interact with those around us affect our shared sense of security and well-being? Are there ways we overindulge that reduce abundance for others? According to a Marin County Health and Human Resources Department report, in 2011, a family of two working adults, a preschooler and a school-aged child, required 3 full-time minimum wage jobs, or more than 100% of a living wage job, to simply make ends meet. How many of our neighbors, how many of our community of Marin County are wondering where our daily bread is going to come from? Praying the Lord's Prayer with our words and deeds offers the chance to further God's reign of justice and rightness on earth. First Presbyterian San Anselmo has several ways to address local and systemic food insecurity needs. You probably know them better than I do. Today, as on each last Sunday of the month, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Sensibility Offering to support the Presbyterian Hunger Program. This nationwide PCUSA program provides funds for local, national, and international projects to combat hunger. Every Sunday, food items are collected for the San Francisco Marin Food Bank that go directly to help people who are wondering where that next meal is coming from. By cooking, serving, and in fellowship, members of First Press San Anselmo also support the weekly wellness gathering at First Press San Rafael that provides a hot meal for the unhoused and others. In 2 weeks, on Palm Sunday, the One Great Hour Sharing offering of the PCUSA will be received. This offering collects funds to support local, national, and global programs that combat hunger and poverty. Every year, First Press San Anselmo also sends writers, pledges support, and hosts mission fairs to support Redwoods Presbytery's Pedal for Protein program. Funds from that program support regional efforts to combat local hunger. And the Bread for the World offering of letters to Congress that you'll hear about later in the service addresses systemic solutions to food insecurity and poverty. Bread for the World offerings of letters encourage our Congress to protect, increase, and accelerate the U.S. commitment to global nutrition programs. The Bread for the World offering of letters this spring will be held here on Easter Sunday. We have the opportunity today to engage this fourth phrase of the Lord's Prayer in many different ways. How are you called to live into this prayer? What is the invitation to you this day, this week, this season, this year? What do we mean when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? As we journey through Lent, we pray as Jesus taught us, with Jesus, Let us also entrust our life's provision to God's care and live into God's reign. This week, consider the words, "Give us this day our daily bread." Delight in some good food and pray in action to help bring sufficient provision and abundant life in all the world. With Jesus, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." In God's hallowed name, amen. And now let us rise in body or in spirit as we sing, "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me."